So I thought we would start off with something funny. You may have heard this one, but it's good enough to repeat. An Amish farmer was walking through his fields when he noticed a tourist kneeling down and drinking from his pond. The Amishman shouts, I'm going to say this in my best Pennsylvania Dutch. Don't laugh. Trink das Wasser nicht. Die Kuhn haben daher gegessen. Which means, don't drink the water. The cows have pooped in it. No, who knew that? The man shouts back, why can't you Amish people speak English like the rest of us? To which the Amishman replies, I said, use two hands, you'll get more. So, welcome to week 3 of our Come Alive series. And I have very good news for all of you. For the first time in West Willow history, at least as long as I have been here, we are adding a bonus week. This worship series was supposed to be 3 weeks, but I've added a fourth week, and here's why. Today, we were going to talk about how to come alive in our communities. And the sermon was going to focus on what personal ministries God has equipped each of us with. And just like last week, how we talked about volunteering for the church, and our church really will not work the way God intended it to work without each and every one of us bringing our own unique gifts, our own unique talents into the church. Today's sermon, now next week's sermon, was an extension of that. Now I'm going to tell you this so you don't have to come next week. Here's the summary. It was an extension that our personal ministries to our community are those things that are unique to us, our unique talents, our unique gifts, those things, those life experiences that only you have been through. And I am of the mind that there is a person out in our community right now who does not know God, who does not know Jesus, and you, each of you individually, are going to be the person to cut through their fear, to cut through their clutter, cut through all of the scars, and it's going to be your voice that tells them the good news. So that's next week's sermon. You don't have to come now. As I was putting that together, and I really strongly believe that, I was thinking of the Petersons cooking breakfast this morning and Jim using his unique gifts. I think of Ron and Peg playing music for us, Verna playing music for us. I think of the prayer shawl. I think of Dan Evans' woodwork. I could go on and on, right? There are very unique talents all of us have that we bring to this body of Christ. And hopefully we feel compelled to do that. But there was a why coming up. Like, why would we even care? Why would we care to go out in our community and tell people about God? And it just kept coming up and coming up. And I have to share this with everybody. So that is where we are today. And I want to start off this sermon by talking about the beach. Where are my beach people? Okay. Nobody else likes the beach? So the first service, not one single beach person. Which I thought, they're not going to understand any of my stories. Second service, contemporary, they were all beach people. Okay, so now we have a smattering of beach people. So when I was younger, my grandmother Garvey had a house in Ocean City, New Jersey. And she had it, it was really close to the beach on 16th Street. So I grew up a couple times a year going down to Ocean City, New Jersey. Now that I am all grown up, my wife Kimberly and I go down to the beach with her family, and we go down to the beach with my family. Kim's family likes to go down to Lewes, Delaware. And we go down and we will rent a house right near Cape Henlopen. If you've ever been to Cape Henlopen, it is a beautiful natural state park. I didn't mention this to either of the other services, but Cape Henlopen is where I met my wife Kimberly, by the way, in sixth grade. Little bonus material. Anyways, Lewes, Delaware, Cape Henlopen, it's very natural, right? It's not overdeveloped. It doesn't have crazy boardwalks and amusement rides and things like that. My family likes to vacation in Wildwood, New Jersey. Overdeveloped. Crazy amusement parks, right? Boardwalks and things like that. Totally different experiences. And if I was honest, I would lean towards Wildwood. Although I'll take either one. If you have ever been to a place like Wildwood, New Jersey, or a boardwalk, or what I would call a beach town, USA, you will know that on the boardwalk, they have amusement parks, right? They have roller coasters, and almost every single one of these amusement areas, they have this big, ugly building. And it's often it's painted black. Sometimes it might be painted gray. And the one in Wildwood has big dragons coming out of the top, and they might have a caricature of the devil coming out of the top, right? So this big building is what? Haunted House, the House of Horrors, all right? Whatever name it is. And, you know, for some reason, my kids, Jack and Maggie, and even Bobby when he was younger, they loved going into the Haunted House. It just cracked them up. And I think it was because it made them feel grown up. Because they could see through the tricks. You know, they could see through that those things are so cheesy that right, none of it's real. And so they felt like they were in on the secret, right? So it made them grown up. They would love it. Inevitably, when you would go into these haunted houses or House of Horrors, there was that one little kid who didn't know that it was fake. Right? They were way too little to be in there. And they're crying and snot's coming out of their face and all that, right? There's no way that this little kid should be in there. Occasionally, when I would be in the kind that you would walk through and not take the little buggy through, and I could go to this little kid, I would maybe just poke him or smile at him and say it's not real. These things, they can't hurt you. It's all made up stuff. And I don't know if you have been in that similar situation, but I think if all of you would have been or would be, you would do the same thing, right? You would reach out somehow to assure them, hey, this is make believe. This does have some relevance to my sermon, by the way. So let's jump into Ezekiel. Week one, we talked about the dry bones coming alive. Ezekiel was taken by the Spirit of the Lord to the valley of the dry bones and is asked, Son of man, can these dry bones live? And the bones represented the people of Israel who had lost hope, who were dried up and they were completely cut off. And the Spirit of the Lord said to Ezekiel, prophesy to the bones and let them hear the word of the Lord. And we applied that to our lives, saying that one way God uses his word for us is for us to apply it to the different parts of our lives, particularly the dry parts, right? Last week, after the bones had come alive and after people had formed, they all came together. Remember, the nation of Israel came together. The tribes of Israel came together. And we applied that to our church, that all of us can come together. In fact, this church will not work the way God intended it to work unless every single one of us contributes. unless every single one of us brings our unique talents and gifts and life experiences into this church. Now, I'll tell you this. Don't wait for me to ask you to volunteer. Because I don't know what those gifts are for most of you. And I would much rather, they did not teach this in church administration class, but that's okay. I would much rather every one of you bring those talents and gifts and life experiences that you are passionate about, that you are excited about, that you can connect and say, God has helped me with this and given this to me, and say, Pastor Bob, here's how I'm volunteering. Here's what I'm doing. I would much rather all of us do that than for me to try to plug you into some need in our church. Much rather do that. If we have lots of other needs nobody wants to do, then we won't do them. And I hope that all of us after last week, you know, kind of had that tug on our hearts. I want to volunteer in some way. And I don't think it's anybody here, but I would say for people who didn't have that tug, they need to find a church that will give them that tug. They have to find a church that they're excited about, that they're excited about serving. And I hope for all of us, I hope and pray it's here. But it's important. God wants us to be involved in His church. Okay, that's my plug about volunteering, by the way. Okay, so this week, we are jumping into Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. And if you heard Linda's masterful reading of God's Word, it's painting a very happy picture. Life is good for the nation of Israel. Right? Starts off by saying, therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says, I will now restore the fortunes of Jacob and have compassion on all the people of Israel, and I will be zealous for my holy name. Then it says, and this is cool, they will forget their shame and all the unfaithfulness they showed towards me when they lived in safety in their land with no one to make them afraid. That's good. That's what I want. I want to forget my shame. I want to forget every time that I have been unfaithful. And God is saying for the entire nation, this is your future. And then it ends with, and I will no longer hide my face from them, for I will pour out my spirit on the people of Israel, declares the sovereign Lord. So things are good. They have been restored in relationship. They have been reconciled. But, and I've got a big but, and I cannot lie. I've been waiting to use that line. We skipped over a lot of stuff. We skipped over a lot of things. God brings back the dry bones. They come alive. God brings back the nation of Israel. It comes together. And then He tells them, you're going to face a challenge. And it's going to be a big one. And it's going to be a scary one. And you're not going to be ready for it. I don't know if you've ever felt like that, that God brought a challenge to you that you were not ready for. If He has, there's a good reason for it. God says to the nation of Israel, there will be a massive army that is going to attack you. It will be a mighty army, a great horde, one with many nations. They will advance like a storm. They will be like a cloud covering the land. I wrote on Facebook, I was trying to get some younger people interested. I said it's going to be like Star Wars and Lord of the Rings and Star Trek and The Matrix and Harry Potter, all combined. But it is this huge, insurmountable, undefeatable enemy that is coming down on the nation of Israel. There's good news, though. Guess who is putting this army together? This is the interactive part of the sermon. Who's putting this army together? I heard a whisper. God is. God is doing this. Listen to the beginning of Ezekiel 38, verse 3. I, this is God speaking, am against you, Gog. I'll tell you who that is in a minute. Chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks in your jaws, ow, and bring you out with your whole army. Now, Gog is the chief prince of a country called Magog, which I'll explain later. God is telling him, hey, look, I'm going to take your entire nation, your entire army, and I am going to point it towards Israel. And I am going to give you five more nations to help. Five nations were Persia, Cush, Put, Kumer, Gomer, and Beth Torgma. It doesn't matter if you know them, just know that the massive army is now getting bigger. And he says to them, he says to God, get ready, be prepared, you and all the hordes gathered about you, and take command of them. After many days, you will be called to arms. In future years, you will invade a land that has recovered from war. That's important, recovered. They're not preparing for war. They are recovering from war. Whose people were gathered from nations to the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They had been brought out from the nations, and now all of them live in safety. The Israelites have left their guard down. Why would God do such a thing? Why would God put the Israelites in a situation that they can't handle? Why would he send an army they can't defeat? That actually is an easy answer. This is one of the many places in the Bible where God is very, very clear on what his intent is. He says it over and over again in many, many different ways. Listen to this. Verse 16. This is important. In days to come, Gog, I will bring you against my land so that the nations may know me when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. So that the nations may know me. If you like to take notes in your bulletin, that would be what I would write down. May know me. A couple of verses later, after God says, in my zeal and my fiery wrath, there shall be a great earthquake, and I will bring the sword against him, and I will bring torrents of rain, hailstones, and burning sulfur on him. Verse 23 says, and so I will show my greatness and my holiness, and I will make myself known in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Fast forward to Ezekiel 39, verse 6. I will send fire on Magog and those who live in safety in the coastlands, and then they will know that I am the Lord. Verse 7 says, I will make known my holy name for my people of Israel. One more. Going all the way to our scripture reading from today. When I have brought them back from the nations and gathered them from the countries of their enemies, I will be proved holy through them in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord, their God. That's a whole lot of knowing. God is doing all of this that this nation of Israel, that his children will know him. Now, there are two kinds of people who are hearing this message being shared with Ezekiel. Then and now, there are those who know God, and there are those who don't know God. Those who know God are thinking, all right, things are about to get interesting. Those who don't know God are thinking, this is terrifying. Those who know God are thinking, let's get a front row seat because the heavenly fireworks are about to begin. Those who don't know God are thinking, I'm scared out of my mind. Those who know God are thinking, honey, pass the popcorn because God is getting ready to do some miracles. Those who don't know God are thinking the world is coming apart. So which one are you? Are you looking forward to all of the exciting things that God is going to do? Are you grabbing a front row seat? Are you grabbing your popcorn, getting ready for the miracle show? Or are you terrified? Scared out of your mind? Thinking that the world is coming apart? You know which one I am? Pass the popcorn, baby. Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing about those people who don't know. Remember I was talking about the little kid in the haunted house who doesn't know that it's not real? Those people in our communities that don't know God, that it's the same way. For them, the world, the entire world, is a house of horrors. And we have to tell them. That's our why. Why do we come alive in our community? We have to tell them this is not real what you're seeing with death and fear, terrorists, whatever you want to throw out there. This is not real. God is in control. God is in charge. He loves you. It's going to be okay. We have to tell them. How do we know this? God tells us this. God tells us in the book of Revelation, right? Things are going to get a little bumpy, folks. It's going to get a little scary. You might want to put your seatbelt on. But it's going to be okay. Better yet, this battle we're talking about hasn't happened yet. It's in the future. We might literally have a chance to pull up our chairs and watch God in action. And I have not studied the book of Revelation a lot or end time prophecies, but there's a couple things that really make you consider this, right? 1948. The nation of Israel was born, was created. All of the 12 tribes of Israel came back together. Dry bones came alive. The nation of Magog, a lot of Bible prophecy experts think that may be Russia. Somehow Iran may be involved. This is all coming together in the Middle East. We can put a chair in the front row and say, let's watch God in action. As I close this morning, I want to just shift our focus a little bit. Chapters 38 and 39 of Ezekiel, they show us clearly that God is setting up this test, this challenge for Israel. And we talked about his why, to make himself known to his children. Is it possible that some of the hard things in your life right now, some of the tests, some of the challenges were put there by God? Could that be so? And I want to be very sensitive to this. I know a lot of you are going through very hard stuff. And I don't necessarily think God had a direct hand in everything that you're going through. I believe God overall is completely in control, but not necessarily direct hand. But there are some things in our lives, particularly the things that seem overwhelming, the things that you're looking at and say, there is no way I can defeat this. God's saying, but I can. That's why it's in your life, so you will turn to me. And I know for some of these things, you've been praying so hard. I know that you've been praying with everything you've got. Is it possible that a different approach is needed? is it possible that you should pull up a chair and say, honey, pass the popcorn because God is about to do a miracle. Honey, pass the popcorn because God is about to make himself known and the healing living waters are going to flow from his hands. Pass the popcorn because the God of Abraham and the God of Jacob and the God of Moses is going to come walking through that door. And there will be redemption and there will be healing and there will be no more pain and there will be no more crying. Honey, pass the popcorn because the God of Samuel, the God of David, the God of Solomon is making himself known, and to all of us, we know him as Jesus. We know him as Savior. We know him as Redeemer. Honey, pass the popcorn because God is showing up here today. Amen? By the way, when we do this, our community sees us coming alive. They see our attitude. They see our expectation. They'll be looking and they'll say, what in the world is wrong with her? She's sick. She has cancer. What's she so happy about? What's his problem? He just lost his job. What's he going around praising God for? And what's wrong with that couple? They're broke. Their kids are all on drugs. And yet they're going around praising Jesus the whole time. And what in the world is up with all this popcorn? That was funny. Come on. But that's what happens, right? That's what happens when you know God. That's what happens when you know our Savior. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. What's down, you see as up. What's poor, you see as rich. And when the mighty enemy is knocking on your door, and he has brought fear, and he has brought death, and he has brought poverty, and he has brought disease, and when all looks hopeless, and all looks lost, we, the people of West Willow, are saying, put the chair in the front, pass the popcorn, because God is getting ready to do a miracle. Amen? Amen? Amen. I want to pray for us before we leave. And I want to pray about this because I said there's two kind of people in this world, right? There's the kind that know God and the kind that don't know God. And the kind that know God are joyful. They're expecting. You can see it. And the kind that don't know God are scared. They don't know what's going on. There's a third type of person. A third type of person is somebody who kind of knows God, right? They've heard of him, and they might come to church once or twice, or they might come on a regular basis, but they don't really believe that God is a God of miracles. That God is going to show up, that he is going to heal us, that he is going to save us, that he is going to love us. I was that type of person for a long, long time. I knew about God, but I didn't believe in God. And so if that is any of you right now, I would like you to pray with me to ask God, God, I know about you. I've heard about you. I want to believe in you. I want to believe that you are the God of miracles that's going to show up in my life and change my life right now. And I don't know how to do that. God, I ask that you help each one of us take that step towards you. Just a little step and say, God, I want to believe in you with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my soul. Help me. And that might be for a second. God, it might be for a minute, it might be for an hour, but right now I am going to give all of myself to you, the God of miracles. Whatever is in my life that I'm afraid of, that I don't know about, I'm giving all of that to you, God. I am saying, God, to you, I am pulling up a front chair, and I am saying, pass the popcorn, baby, because you are about to work miracles in my life. Lord, we lift all of that up to you in your amazing Son Jesus' name. Amen.